Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. And our second reading is from the book of 1 Peter, the first two verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Andrew. Short readings, but God's word is packed full of meaning and import for us. For those of you who haven't met me before, my name is Rob. I'm the vicar and the mission leader of the church here at Christ the King, where I've got the privilege of serving. It was helpful being reminded of those words that we were commissioning Kelly, just of the responsibility on all our shoulders in terms of, and particularly as I feel it on mine, as we seek to build this community of disciples, being on this adventure of becoming more like Jesus and helping others to do the same. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word available to us. Thank you for your love given to us. And I pray that as we spend some time reflecting on your call upon us as individuals and as church, I pray that we would hear your still small voice, the voice of your Spirit speaking to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I received an invitation to a meeting, or directions to a meeting on Friday, that came not in the form of a postcode or an address, but in the form of the words, Owls Casino Sounds. Don't worry, I'm not about to join some noisy gambling syndicate with birds. Those of you may be familiar with the What Three Words app and concept, which is something that was put together a couple of years ago, it might be a bit more now, where they've mapped the whole of the world into 3 meter square bits. And every 3 meter squared has a unique set of three words. It's very Anglo-centric, they're English words, but so be grateful that you're a native English speaker. And as a result of that, funnily enough, the night before I'd been just thinking about that concept for reasons that will become apparent, and my esteemed associate and I were playing text tennis with looking at this building. So I'm standing at this intersection of about 4 different squares, actually, I think. My favourite is Noises Bridge Spins. That could be my preaching. Or Tribe Shiny Kind. I think I quite like shiny and kind as we build the tribe, a community of disciples. If I go over here, I'm at Clown Sings Abode. I so wish it was that corner. And those of you who are sort of in the middle of the church, you're at Wicked Boring Comical. So you can decide which one you are. My wife is desperate that you should know, because she's on the visual desk this morning, that desk is at Alive Talent Truth. I know it's a bit of fun, but obviously it's a serious concept and very useful for things like mountain rescue, or in the case of the meeting invitation that I was receiving, it was so that I know which entrance to the building, because it was a big building, and which one I should be going to. But why have I brought it to us today? Because the action point I want for you today is not for you to go home and work out where your house is and where your living room is and all those kind of things. In December, we had a prayer and prophecy evening here in this building. And I sensed, and the group of us who were here leading that evening, sensed that God gave us not three words, but four words. And because I was thinking about those four words, made me think about the what three words concept. It was an evening that was relevant not just to us, but to the wider church across this area and region. But I did feel that those words were relevant for us as we seek to build this community of disciples. And I thought they were relevant to us, building on the belonging idea that we spent thinking about in Ephesians last term, as we try to build or rebuild healthy church here in 2022. And those four words were holiness, prayerfulness, dependence, and confidence. Holiness, prayerfulness, dependence, and confidence. They're big concepts, but they're actually quite fundamental concepts. And we're going to unpack them over this term through the lens of 1 Peter. And we'll see them recurring as we work our way through that letter. It's a letter written to churches in modern-day Turkey. That's what all those places that Andrew read for us, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Don't confuse Asia with what we think of as the whole continent. Asia is just a little bit of what we now call Turkey. But churches and gatherings across that part of the world that were actually feeling quite beleaguered, under the cosh, strangers in a prevailing culture because as followers of Jesus, they had different values from the prevailing culture. And the letter is a call to stand firm and not go with the flow. And surely that has to be a letter, a message that's relevant to us in the 21st century. So today, all I want to do, as you say, I've just given you two verses. Don't worry, not every week will be just two verses. Otherwise, we could be on 1 Peter for a very long time. But I just want to give you a top-line introduction to those four themes of holiness, prayerfulness, dependence, and confidence. And I said we'll unpack them more as the weeks go by. So first of all, holiness. Holiness is a word that actually gets a bad reputation in our culture. Because if you did the equivalent of our, I don't know, Family Fortunes or Blankety Blank, even that's back now, Pointless or whatever, you ask people holier, you probably get holier than thou as an idea, as if holy is about looking down on people. But actually, holiness is a fundamental characteristic of God. And if we want to be more like Jesus, then we need to be more holy. And we've said we're committed to trying to become more like Jesus. In a passage we'll come to in a couple of weeks, in verse 16 of the first chapter, Peter quotes Leviticus, the words of God saying, "Be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy." And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 48. "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that's not possible, of course, without help. And we'll come on to that a little bit later. But it's a reminder that although forgiveness is a free gift, freedom in Christ is a free gift. Eternal life won for us on the cross is a free gift. They are gifts of grace that cannot be earned. And that's a fundamental building block of our faith that cannot be taken away. In spite of that, the receiving of those free gifts does lead to a responsibility in terms of how we then live our life. So it's not in order to earn those things, but it's a natural response to receiving those things. We can't just take the gift and then say, "Thank you, put it in my back pocket, I'll remember that for when I die," and then carry on as before. And of course, we won't get it right in our quest to be holy. And aren't we grateful that God has extraordinary patience with his children? More patience than I have with my children, to be honest. But he expects us to try. He expects us to make an effort. And one of the prayers, most days it's the first prayer I pray. Sometimes it's the first words I use in the morning. I say, in this day, I want to live in your presence, Father, and please you more and more. Please help me to do that. Help me to live in your presence and please you more and more. And we had that reading from Micah 6 and verse 8. He's shown you what to do. Love mercy. Act humbly. Love justice. See, he's actually said there are requirements, there are responsibilities, there are actions. And when we unpack the concept in later weeks, we're going to see that holiness has elements, several elements associated with it. It's got elements of purity, keeping pure, being set apart. It's got elements of wholeness. It's got elements of moral goodness. As I said, I haven't got time to unpack that. But we see that in this verse here about being sanctified, as Peter says. And English language doesn't help us because it's the same root from the word holy in the original. The word used is it's just a different part of the same same word, being made holy. And it talks about obedience to Jesus. And it reminds them that they're in exile, and then to a certain extent they are set apart. So my first challenge, my first question is this year, how are we going to respond to God in terms of what is it he's calling us to make an effort to try and be more holy in our living this year? That's holiness. What about prayerfulness? Prayer is something that some of us find easy, and I suspect most of us find hard, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But we all know it's important. So by suggesting prayerfulness as a priority, I'm not exactly being controversial. We know that our faith is about relationship, and we know that relationship requires connection. And so we know that prayer is not just about asking for stuff, even if the stuff is for other people, even if the stuff is goodness, things like peace and healing rather than just material things. Prayer is about communing with God, being with God, listening to God, as well as, quite rightly, asking God. In other words, the same as any human relationship. It's not just about asking the other person for stuff. It's about being with them, listening to them. And we can pray on our own. We can pray in small groups. We can pray in large groups. We can pray when we've got a single item on our agenda, if you like. We can pray when we've got lots of things on our agenda. We can pray when we've got nothing on our agenda. We just want to waste time with God. Again, the same as with human relationships. And Peter, in this verse, prays for grace and peace in abundance. That's a great prayer and a big need for all of us, isn't it? Grace and peace in abundance. So on that one, I wonder what steps you might take this year to improve your commitment to prayer. I remember when I first became a Christian as a student, a consequence in my life was setting my alarm a bit earlier. I think it was only 15 minutes earlier at the time. It sounds really trivial now, but it was a consequence. It was an action of, I need to spend time with God as part of my day. We've heard about the half night of prayer coming up this Saturday. That's from 8 until 12. You don't have to be there for the whole thing. You can drop in for part of it. I'd rather you were there for part of it than none of it at all. But it's an opportunity for us to gather, and we've said, let's do this at the start of every term as we consecrate ourselves afresh, recognizing it's God's work and we're called to be part of it. But of course we have our corporate opportunities to pray monthly at the Hub, our church prayer meeting, weekly at our Ask prayer meeting. Ask, seek, knock, that's what Ask stands for, A-S-K. Maybe the call upon your life is to be more methodical in your prayers this year. Or maybe, if you're very methodical, it's the call to be more spontaneous in your prayers. Maybe it's to be more quiet in your prayers. Or maybe it's just to take prayer seriously. Holiness, prayerfulness. What about dependence? Dependence. We watched the film CODA last night. CODA is an acronym I hadn't come across before, but it's Children of Deaf Adults. And it was all about a teenager and who was the only hearing person in the family and the responsibility that fall on her because of that. And they were, as a family, the two parents and the other child, very dependent on her. And naturally, that caused some tensions. But actually, the idea of dependence follows on quite neatly from the focus on prayer, because prayer is about recognizing our dependence on God. And unlike the character in that film, he is always available for us. We are his priority. This verse that we're looking at this morning uses quite graphic language to show our dependence on the forgiveness that's been won by Jesus through his blood shed on the cross. It talks about being sprinkled with the blood. Thankfully, that isn't something that we have to do literally. But also about it being the Holy Spirit who makes us holy, who sanctifies us. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit as well. John 15:5, a verse that we frequently come back to in this church, reminds us that we can do nothing without God. We can do nothing without God. If we try to do this without God, we might as well pack up and go home now. I remember being told on more than one occasion, what a verse just to dwell on, verse just to meditate on, to spend time on. Without God, you can do nothing. The other side of that, of course, is that with God, all things are possible. And last term, we looked at Ephesians 5:18, which says, go on being filled with the Spirit, because you're dependent daily on being filled afresh with God's Holy Spirit, that we would press into the things of the Spirit. And I was just reflecting as I was thinking about this verse, thinking about the disciples, as we frequently do. They became heavily dependent on Jesus, of course. They left their fishing nets, they left their businesses, they left their homes. They left their security for him. And they followed him everywhere. They kind of followed on his coattails. They followed his agenda. You know, where he went, they went. They knew that if they stuck around with him, then they'd get fed. They'd find somewhere, because with being around Jesus, miracles seemed to happen. So it was a good place to be. And they got to see some really cool stuff in terms of people being healed and miraculous food provision and cool water walking and all those kind of things. You know, but they became heavily dependent on him, and then he goes. He dies. He comes back to life, and they go, phew, this is all right. But then he goes again. He goes for good as he ascends back to the Father's side. And they're dependent on him. So what does he say? At the beginning of the book of Acts, Acts 1, 4, and 5, he says, wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit. We've still got our Christmas banner up there. Emmanuel, God with us. We bring that word out, Emmanuel, at Christmas time, don't we? And we sing carols that have got the word Emmanuel in it. It's a Hebrew word that means God with us, because we think about Jesus coming to earth as a human being. But actually, the Holy Spirit is Emmanuel. He is God with us now. Don't think I'm saying something heretical in saying that. I know I'm not. God is with us through his Holy Spirit, and we're dependent on him as much as we're dependent on the air that we breathe. But looking at those early pages in the book of Acts, it reminds us not only are they dependent on the Holy Spirit, because they've got to wait until they receive the Holy Spirit before they do anything, they're also dependent on each other. They gather together as the 12 and a few others, then as the 120, and then as the 3,000, finding different ways of gathering together. They're dependent on the Spirit, they're dependent on each other, and they're also dependent on the Word of God. When they're deciding what to do, they're saying, we need to do what the Scripture says, which is why they add a replacement for Judas, because they want to be 12. And you know, we don't have to be embarrassed about our dependence, because we're reminded in Scripture, in our weakness, God's strength shines through. 2 Corinthians 12:9. In our weakness, God's strength shines through. So how will we live lives of dependence this year? Dependence on God's Holy Spirit, dependence on each other in a healthy way, and dependence on his word. Lastly, having talked about holiness and prayerfulness and dependence, I just want to talk about this word confidence. Confidence comes from knowing that God is with them. Confidence comes from knowing that God is with us. Peter says here, you are selected. You are chosen. After the 2 years that we've had, and it's getting on for 2 years now, isn't it? There's a temptation to kind of shrink back, to go into survival mode. But Hebrews 10:39 says, let's not shrink back and be destroyed. Let's have faith and be saved. Let's not shrink back and be destroyed. Let's have faith and be saved. We are on the Lord's side. With God, all things are possible. Is that verse in Proverbs? I've forgotten to look it up, but yeah, with our God, we can scale a wall. And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. People out there need Jesus. There is a spiritual hunger out there. And with Paul, we surely need to be saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to bring salvation. That's what Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16. There is a hunger out there. And what we have is awesome. It is life-changing. So at the start of this year, can I suggest we have a responsibility to seek holiness, to be prayerful, but to do it as ones who are dependent on God, to do it as ones who are dependent on his daily provision that we'll find through God's word, through the Holy Spirit, through the body together. And with those things together, through holiness, prayerfulness, dependence on God, I believe that will give us confidence. Confidence to live the Christian life. So let's not amble into 2022. Let's stride with confidence into 2022. Confidence that comes out of holiness, out of our prayer life, out of our dependence on him. Amen.